Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Caring for Animals, number 382 shows and counting this evening. Want to welcome aboard all you new listeners out there. Hope you enjoy the show. Keep coming back and spread the word out there, because the more voices and action takers, hey, the faster the positive changes. Because if we do nothing, nothing changes. So make sure you get out there, and your voice is important. Your actions is important. Keep spreading the word and help these animals in need and distress, because without us, they have no hope to carry on, okay? So we are their only hope, and bringing them justice and bringing them victories in so we could do the victory dance. Because that's so important. That's what we're all here, all you animal activists out there. Big shout out to all you advocates for all you're doing, all you cross posters out there helping save animals' lives out there. I mean, that's on death row. And that's another issue that we got to discuss on these shows, because this radio platform, if we just talk about it and not just put that right foot ahead and take action, we are spinning our wheels. So everyone, that is so important to get out there, call your legislators, get acquainted with them. You can write them, you can email them, you can write them letters, you can make an appointment to meet with them in person. And then I keep this number handy. I already got it memorized. I've called them so many times. But area code 202-224-3121, and it's going to ask for your zip code during business hours. Ask to speak to your state representatives or your senators, or you could just leave a voicemail right after after hours and weekends. So you could really contact them, you know, 24/7. Your voices are so important out there for all these positive changes. We are strength in numbers, and that's Mama Cat always tells me, a big supporter of this show, Ray Bittner, and she's listening in. Hey, Mama Cat. But I'm just going to go over a couple things. My name is Debbie Dahmer, and I am the producer and host for Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals, coming to you live every Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Listen in worldwide. You can listen in by phone, area code 310-982-4270. And you'll be in the queue, press 1. You can also call in from Skype, or you can listen by the Internet, and that's www.blogtalkradio.com/voicescaringforanimals. And you can follow my podcast from there. Just press the follow, and every time a live broadcast comes up, it will alert you in your email. Just put your email address and send. and it's free. And also, this show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette Online. Big shout-out to Marty Oakley. She's the one, the roots of where it all started at. I was her host on TS Radio Network, Voices Carry for Animals, back in June of 2014 all the way up to March of 2018, and she helped me get it to Animal Advocates Radio together. Great team player and a great friend. Taught me everything I know, and she's awesome. I mean, she's out there listening. Try to catch some of her shows. She's got great guests, and she's a great host and producer also on TS Radio Network, and she's also on Blog Talk Radio. So please give her, you know, listen in, because she has some important topics. I was her co-host for elder abuse for 75 shows and count was more than that. And that area needs a lot of help, too, because we're all going to become the elderly, you know, if God's willing. So we got to, you know, protect them. We got to get them out of harm's way, because that's the right thing to do. You know, the protection, the prevention, being their voice, and you know, keeping them out of neglect and abuse and exploitation. And it's terrible what's going on out there. I look up from front lines, I see it, and it's terrible. But anyway, I wanted to, all you Florida, who's ever listening in Florida, please pay attention, because we need your help on some anti-tethering laws here in Florida, okay? And Jennifer Kennedy, she is a former guest on this show, and she wanted me to bring this up. There's some bills that's in draft that need sponsored, okay, for anti-tethering in Florida. That's where, you know, families leave or people leave their pets out on chains without food or water long periods of time, or in extreme water or extreme weather, rain, hurricanes, or whatever it may be, and it's not fair to the animals. So we're their only hope to get some laws. The ones last year failed, so we don't want to see them fail again, but they do need attention here. And it's the one in 2022 was HB 1075, okay? So that's no longer good. It died out. But we want to get this, you know, this, it's in, it's called Tethering of Domestic Dogs and Cats. And it's the draft number 17-01386-23. Chaining a dog 24/7 is arctic and cruel. It is a public safety issue as well as dangerous for the dog. If you all can, you know, even look on the Humane Society scoreboard, find out to the animal-friendly politicians, give them a call and see if they will sponsor it or even co-sponsor it, because we do need legislators to sponsor this, because it is in draft, okay? And Jennifer Kennedy, big shout-out to you for all you're doing for these anti-tethering, because it's so important, because these dogs can't, you know, just go tie yourself to a tree or a fence and see how you like it for long periods of time and without food or water or not enough or extreme weather conditions. I've seen some terrible photos and videos of where they captured animals that, you know, being neglected or in dog houses that's not, you know, too small on a chain. They can't hardly move around, and it's cruel. So everybody, I'm going to be sending some emails and phone calls also, trying to get some sponsors and get this passed, because I hate to see it fail in 2023. So let's all get together, band together, animal advocates. The more of us, the better. The voices, you know, strength in numbers, power numbers. Hey, the politicians, they don't like, you know, public outcry or public outrage. So the more of us, the better, okay? So please do that. And a big shout-out to Gary Bowden of All About Animal Radio. He's a producer and a host. And he's also on Facebook and Twitter. And on the website, Animal Advocate Alliance, I am posted as Mama Bear. And check that out. You can on-demand episodes on that, All About the Animal Radio. Thank you, Gary Bowden, for all your great teamwork. You're a super team player out there. And let's all come together, and he's got some great hosts on his shows. Several guests from that's been on here, and they're always welcome back. But please check it out and give him your support, because all of us working together, hey, we'll get faster changes made. But I want to go ahead. My name is Debbie Dahmer, a.k.a. Mama Bear. Mama Bear does care because she is on the air. So I want to introduce my guest. Her name is Beth Cherry Home Miller, creator of Small Dog Park and founder of Wagtown. Bringing her on. Hello, Beth. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Debbie?
Hey,
absolutely
good. I'm having
fantastic.
You. I'm excited about this, and it's your first time coming on, but not the last.
It
so
is.
I want to welcome you
first
aboard.
First time caller, long time listener.
Yeah, you're long. Thank you so much, and all your, you was passing, you know, those posts with kind words, and you know that's so uplifting and inspiring. You know, that's what I call teamwork. It's great. But welcome aboard. And looking forward to having you on again. And everyone, the topic tonight is Tucker Finds His Forever Home, children's book. And that's where we got to teach all the children out there, you know, how to respect animals, to learn about them, to be friendly to them, because it's so important, because that's what they deserve. But anyway, Beth, I want to get you started here. And, you know, mm-hmm. tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got started, and we'll go into the book, because thank you for all you're doing. You're a positive impact, and we'll tell how, you know, in a few minutes we'll tell how the story of this book and all the proceeds are going to animal welfare, and which helps out all, you know, the animals. But go right ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You're live and on the air.
Oh, well, first of all, thank you so much for doing this with me. You're legendary in this whole pet space of doing things better for the animals. So it's an honor to be talking with you and all of your followers. As far as me, my background is actually in advertising. I am an ad agency. And even in those years, in my first part of my career, I really drew upon how I grew up. And I can remember being in my bedroom and every single wall from the floor to the ceiling, unfortunately put up there with carpet backing tape. My parents almost shot me. I had pictures that I had taken out of Ranger Rick magazine and World magazine. I don't know if anybody remembers those, but I would always select the animals that had nothing on them that was human. So if I had a horse, it didn't have a bridle. If I had, you know, they were all just in their natural state. And I just fell in love with the diversity and the way that they made me feel and the way that they made the world such a kaleidoscope of wonderful things. So then fast forward to, you know, I wanted to become a veterinarian, and then I find out at a pet store while buying a ferret that I'm allergic to just about anything furry. So switched away from that and, you know, go speeding forward through college, and I think I'm going to be an accountant and then an attorney. I take one class in creative marketing strategy, and I'm hooked. And along with being hooked was the opportunity to work on projects that had a nonprofit focus. And I fell in love with not only the concepts and the things that were being done, but the people. So then shoot forward to I own an ad agency, and I lost my niece when she was 3. And she had a lot of help, and the family had a lot of help from the Ronald McDonald House Charities. So I reached out, and we started doing work for them pro bono. And word gets out when you start doing good things. It's good because the word gets out, and it's bad because the word gets out. And everybody realized, oh, there's this person, you know, she's going to help you. And I became addicted to helping other people that had these terrific causes, which is a terrific problem to have, but it's not great for business. So, you know, you have to kind of, you know, pay your mortgage and help at the same time. So then in 2016, I started a new initiative. That was when I ejected from the ad agency business, which I adored, and I decided to believe in a program that I wrote called Wagtown that would help communities become more authentically and responsibly dog-friendly. And the benefits of that astounded me in my research of 700 people face-to-face since 2016 asking them about the impact of animals on our lives and our communities, the vibrancy. It's impossible to calculate.
Wow. Yeah, and you just keep going. You got a lot going on there, you know, from every angle and doing a lot. You're a positive impact in this world. And you know who especially thanks us is the animals, because when their lives turn, you know, for the better in their futures, hey, they can't thank us, but we can see it. We can feel it. We know. Because every angle out there, they all need help. I've done these shows, almost 9 years in June, and there's a lot I have learned from them that I didn't know what was going on. You know, I look at it like, why? Why is these animals, a lot of them getting mistreated and abused and neglected and used as, you know, slavery? And it doesn't make sense. I mean, it's like they deserve to live, because the animals, children and elderly, were all, you know, they don't have a voice. They're defenseless and helpless, voiceless and innocent. So if we don't stand up for them, hey, they don't stand a chance. And so we have to be their voice. We have to be their defenders, because doing what's right in this world and not say, hey, you know, we can't just sit back and continually to see this, abuse and neglect going on, and it keeps going on and on. So everyone, please, it's so important to call your legislators. We vote them in, we vote them out, and that's what it takes, is to get changes made. And, you know, you could be professional and polite, and you could be a creator of a bill, you know, get a hold of your legislator. And, you know, you ask for a constituent bill proposal form, fill it out, and make sure you send it back in. It gets in the draft, and it gets approved, and it gets a bill number. And then you ask for supporters, and you can be a creator of a bill. It's not that hard.
That is a terrific, terrific resource and piece of advice. And I, just as a personal experience with that, we in Ohio weren't allowed to have our dogs on the patio restaurant, the restaurant patio. It was illegal until 2018 in Ohio. So you just take your dog to dinner with you outdoors on a patio. And people pushed back when they started to enforce it. And the response from, you know, pretty much everyone was absolutely it should be allowed. But there was some pushback. So we reached out with some other dog advocates and worked with Lauren Lennies and Bill Cooley in the state of Ohio, and really helped them do a little bit of research. We reached out to different states to find out what sort of projects they had done with their public health and their public safety and first responders, so we could really make sure that if we were recommending that this should be changed, not only did we want to know if it was legitimate, if there were concerns, but also what is the potential impact of not having that available to you. So we found that, like, a good friend of mine owns a restaurant, and she came in and did testimony on our behalf in support of the bill, because her business saw a 20% jump on the days that she had business where she was going to support animal advocacy. So right there you can see direct economic impact from that one law, that's one person with one business, 20% leap. And we look at all the small businesses in our communities around everywhere, especially since COVID, they all need help in those incremental ways. And for us to take that away from not only her, but think of the impact that had on the humane societies, the six, all the rest of the fosters, anyone who's trying to pull dogs out and save them, this is a way for them. They do these pups on patio events everywhere. I'm sure everyone listening has been to a pups on patio event of some sort. And here we're talking about an organization trying to say that fundraising, which is so critical and such a joy to give at those events and great for business, how can you possibly say that is in the best interest of your state to do that? And so we said, nope, this can't survive this. We have got to win this. And it did really well, and it passed, and lo and behold, the world didn't end. So now we have this, and now we have the job now, you know, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to Wagtown, we have more dog friendliness as a result of that bill. However, when you have more dog friendliness, you also have the onus of needing to give people more information and education so that it is responsible dog friendliness, because irresponsible dog friendliness is the first thing that will kill all the access that you want for your animals. We have got to start picking up poop, volunteering, saying that you'll take a dog for the weekend, picking up dogs that have been dumped. We all need to say, I have space in my life, whether it be time, talent, or treasure, that I think is so important that I'm going to contribute that to this cause. And I'm not saying you need to do what Debbie's doing. I mean, that would be like impossible, right? Because you're amazing. But if everybody put as much heart and soul into it as you have, and then divide that by a million, so a millionth of what Debbie brings to the table would even make a huge difference. Because what if that millionth of a difference was sitting right in front of you with those doe eyes looking at you saying, will you please help me just be a dog and have a great life journey? So I commend you for all that information. Giving people those resources is so important. So thank you for that.
No, no problem. It's so very important. You know, hey, strong leaders with strong supporters equals strong victories. You know, so
yes,
that means a lot. And when we contact them, hey, if we want to see a better and stronger year 2023, we have to take action to get those changes made. Changes does not happen on its own, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to push
yep.
harder for change, and that's what it takes. We want to see what's going on out there, and we want to do something about it. We have to contact our legislators. They are the key to all the changes made, even with these organizations. They have to get with them and, you know, with the legislators. So, and they have supporters. So these animal organizations can't change nothing either. Or we the people. We have to come together with our legislators and do what's right and do what's necessary to get those bills passed. You know, not see them
Agreed.
Die out. Because, you know,
and
Florida
we need,
last
we need
Sunday
is,
goes,
we need,
yeah,
we
go
need
ahead,
more
go
fine
ahead.
Proof. We need more fine print readers. I think that there are too many examples of people saying, we have fixed this dog crisis problem today with the following XYZ solution. But then when you look at it, it either cuts corners somewhere or it doesn't do what it was supposed to do. I remember, I think it was it Boulder or Denver that got rid of their breed ban. So I called out there because they got all these accolades and everybody was writing them up like, yay, it's gone. So I called and I said, I'm considering moving out there, and a friend of mine told me that I might not be able to move there because of my dogs. And she said, oh, I don't think that'll be a problem. And I said, well, maybe it was what kind of dog? She said, what kind of dog do you have? And so I thought this would be the good test. I said, I have a Rottweiler, I have a Husky, and I have a Shih Tzu. You know, there are three very different situations there, right? She said, oh, that's no problem. Not a peep, right? Two breeds that are frequently banned, another one that usually is not. So I thought, well, maybe there would be a difference there. So then I said, well, maybe it's because my friend had a pit bull. And she said, oh, yeah, well, that's handled differently. Right there, right? It's handled differently. That's discrimination. So the way that they changed
yeah.
it used to be that they could come to your place and take your dog and put it down. But now it's, quote, so much better because now you have to schedule a 45-minute assessment of your dog, which, by the way, is based solely on their appearance. It's in the material solely based on their appearance, which we all know is not a great way to measure the dog breed or their disposition in general. The other part is it's $75. So if you have a pit bull or mix that they think might be in this category, you have to take time off work or out of your life. You have to spend money that no other dogs, other breeds had to spend. And you have to be subjected to this, you know, I guess, inspection of the quality of your dog. I just think we need to put people on there instead of dogs if we're going to start doing that, you know.
It
boggles
there.
My mind.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Yeah,
because they always get the bad rap. And it's terrible.
Yes, they do.
It's injustice and inhumane. You know, we don't like to hear about dog bites or whatever. But you can't take one dog, and they're all held accountable for it. They're held responsible,
mm-hmm.
and they're all the same. No, they're not. They are individuals. Every pit bull I've known through my life, through the neighborhood and friends and relatives, they've all been so friendly. I mean, they're awesome. and they mm-hmm. need a chance. They always get the bad rap, and there's a, you know, so many get used for dog fighting, and that's not right. They are forced to do dog fighting. They can't
yes.
get there by themselves. They can't drive themselves. They are trained. So I hope all these dog fighters, they turn over a new leaf and help these animals out, because I can't imagine, you know, and clapping and cheering them on when they're hurting each other and possibly death.
I can't even imagine what it would be like to be a person like that. Hey, you know what? I'm going to tell you this. You're going to love this. Do you know who Shorty Rossi is? He had a show called Pit Boss.
Yes, I do. Yes. Awesome.
Well,
right.
Red Roof Inn contacted me the other day, and they bought 300 of the Tucker Finds His Forever Home books, and they are handing them out to children when they do outreach at events with the discount coupon in the book cover. And I thought, what a great way to get to families. So they sent 50 of those to Shorty. And he took a picture. You can look on his Instagram account, or I can send it to you. It's on my feed, too. He took a picture of all his pity babies listening to him read the book, Tucker Finds His Forever Home, while he's sitting on his couch. It's the most adorable thing. So as a result of sort of, you know, things being serendipitous, as usual, with Wagtown and with Smart Dog Park, it's been crazy. Now there's interest from a couple of people. There's an educator who lives in Mexico, who wants this to be translated to Spanish for the curriculum that I wrote that comes with it. And the other folks came in and said, can we get the book in Spanish also? So they want to use that to fight street dog and fighting to educate people. So now we have this, you know, just some chick in Ohio who wrote a book because she thought she could, and it turns out to connect with somebody who can really take this message down to the street level, literally, and help people understand what that's like to be in that position and help them empathize more with what's happening. It's too easy to just turn off the TV in our mind. You know, it's
right.
When you turn off that TV in your mind, there are still dogs out there being abused, being forced to fight, and being raised as if they were born killers.
Right, and it's not right, because they feel pain just like we do. I mean, they do everything they see. They eat, they smell, hear, walk, sleep, feel pain, they have feelings. So when they're in them fights and these people are cheering them on, that is so inhumane and cruel. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
terrible. And I've had shows on anti-dog fighting. And these dogs don't stand a chance. They are forced to, they have no say-so in the matter. And it's terrible. And then, you know, with the ones that bite, okay? And then all of a sudden, okay, we're going to make this law where they're banned, take them down, you know. And it's wrong. And then a lot of these shelters are full of pit bulls. And they're
yep.
friendly dogs. They need a chance. They can't be discriminated. BSL needs to be banned, period.
I completely agree. I'll tell you what, the first thing that I did before I even wrote the book was I actually won a grant from the U.S. Conference of Mayors, and it was to create a curriculum for K-1 about dog safety, how to be humane to dogs, teaching you that, you know, some dogs have jobs and dogs have spots and, you know, all the kid stuff. But then the lessons of what is discrimination, how do you talk to little kids like that about big topics like self-worth and abandonment and fear and loneliness and hope and love. And being able to take that and put it into this week-long curriculum, it was great, because then we were able to partner with PBS. So PBS has a platform that's worldwide called PBS Learning Media. And I made the curriculum and the reading of the book and there's a song. All of it is free to anyone to just go in and download the stuff. It's week-long. It actually exceeds national teaching standards in the United States. So it's even got social emotional learning in there, which we desperately need right now, especially when it comes to how we treat each other and our animals. So now, unfortunately, because of COVID, we've seen this lapse in learning. So now the curriculum has been bumped to be K-4, because the messages are so broad and the impact is being seen, and they want to see it exposed to more students, because it's one thing I learned in my research is we can do all these conversations with the adults that we want to, but if we don't start changing the game in terms of the narratives we use, the language we use, the emotions that we display, and the amount of airtime that we give to things, then that next generation is not going to be raised in the world that we want them to be, which is a world of humane behavior in all of our communities. So we've got to hit those kids with all of this information, because just like with recycling, when my son was little, he learned about recycling, came home, and bam, all of a sudden we're recycling everything, right? And so they shame you into recycling. Well, now we need to do that with dog friendliness, with the ability to have more humane conversations needs to be a part of the curriculum, not only in the schools, but in our homes, in our businesses, and in our hearts.
Agreed, all the way. Because once we teach all of them, you know, some of them have, a lot of them have pets in their homes and get treated fairly.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the ones that are not. So it's best to hit all of them up and educate them about the animals. Beth, I've seen, you know, photos of where they had, like, field trips going with children and reading books to the animals in the shelters. It was so heartwarming. I mean,
I love this.
Yes.
Yep.
We need more of that, more education, because we're all on this earth temporarily, including all the animals, so we got to make the best of it and be educated about everything and teach them, because once we're out of here, here comes some more generations coming up, and they're going to see the same problems as of now if we don't get it straightened out and fixed.
I completely agree. I mean, think about it.
Yes.
When you are on your deathbed, here's something that I want to have. Here's my wish. On my deathbed, I want to be able to look back and say that in my lifetime, I did everything I could that was within my scope of capabilities and ability at that time to help animals have a better place in our world. I definitely want that to be something that I can take my last breath and know that when there was an opportunity to make a difference, I took it. And there was an opportunity to take a risk on something that I didn't know about, then I learned it. And I take all of those opportunities,
right,
and I meet all of these people, and I say, look at what we could do together. And then when you see those people that come together, like Rebound Dog, where all these people have positive intentions, and you can just feel it coming off of the Zoom screen of all the positivity that's going into that. And I thoroughly believe that we are going to evolve to the point where there'll be a tipping point when, just like everything else, things that we thought were okay before are no longer acceptable. And when that happens, we need to create a new reality. I have the same thing with dog parks. There are so many horror stories. I bet if we polled everyone listening right now, everyone has either had a problem or heard about a problem at a dog park. So why aren't we addressing that? Why aren't we fixing that? That should be an opportunity for us to come together as a community, not just the dog people to go. All right, it's not something that you put in and say, fine, we gave you your dog space. But we see that too frequently in all dog categories, right? It's like, fine, we'll give you your thing that the dog people have been crying for. But there isn't that embrace of it saying, oh, I've heard what you said, and I understand that our community would be better, stronger, more economically vibrant, safer, healthier, more welcoming, more responsible if we just would pick up our heads and look at the fact that if we would believe in animals more, we could be more.
I agree with you all the way. I mean, it's there. And just like you said about the deathbed, hey, we can look back. We was a positive impact in this world, not a negative one, and do nothing about anything. And just, you know, there's people out there that, you know, they complain and complain and complain, but they don't take no action. And I tell them, you're telling mm-hmm. the wrong person. You got to call your state representative, okay, because I can't change nothing, but thousands of me can. Once we call them legislators up and put the pressure on, let's put the heat on high, hey, this needs to be fixed. It can't be ignored or kicked to the curb, mm-hmm. you know, because it's so important. And all you animal advocates out there, you know, thanks for all you're doing, but, you know, we share on Facebook or whatever, but take that, you know, keep going, sign that petition, share it, make that phone call, have other family members or neighbors, coworkers also make them calls, because these numbers add up. And when they see a lot of calls coming in or the petitions high or the emails are high, they're going to take action, okay? I've seen it happen a lot. And when they only have a few people that's taking action, hey, that's called spinning your wheels, because we need more. We need more. We got to push harder, all of us. And that's what it takes. You know, pressing that like button on Facebook or Twitter or wherever, that doesn't serve no justice. You know, put that thing, press that share, that way it gets out in news feed, and maybe a couple of them will ignore it, but then there's some that's going to pick up on it and maybe do something. And then here's your, you know, people, and you're gaining more people, action takers to come on board and call their legislators. You know, sign that petition, share it. And not everybody's on social media at the same time and day, so keep resharing it. And I've been doing that. This one petition, it is moving. Oh, my goodness. In Maryville, about BSL, or Beth, I'll pass it to you. This thing is moving.
Fantastic.
I mean, I seen it. 10,000 signatures are coming in a 24-hour period, you know, because I keep tabs on them. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
And I said, look at this. This is proof right here. And I even took it, shared on the other social media networks, you know, get it out there, because I'm fast. Remember, I was telling you earlier before the show, I have four or five tabs up, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and LinkedIn, and I'm sharing away, and I'm fast. It makes my head spin so that it doesn't take that long. You should see how much I can get done in an hour. It's amazing. You know, so
well, you have,
it's not
you have
that
your
difficult.
System, and it works.
It works. I mean, you know, when I first started out, this been on this radio platform for 9 years, and that's almost 9 years in June, and Marty Oakley, you know, teach me everything. And before that, I was on, you know, advocating on social media. And I never gave it up. I was grown to, you know, treat animals with dignity and respect. We had some dogs growing up, and then I grew up to, like, when I got my driver's license, even the neighbors would let me take their dogs for a car ride, and we wasn't going anywhere, just around the neighborhood. So it was funny.
I love
and
it.
And then I bring them
I love
back.
It. You're, my,
you know?
You're my kind of people, I think, you know? I like people that are like you, I have to say.
Yeah.
We need more. If we could just clone you, you know? What we need to do is clone you, and then for every one of you that is spawned, we take someone who's a non-advocate, someone who's causing these problems and bringing pain to the world, we just swap them out. And that's what we could do anyway, because we're all – every time you post something and share something or talk to somebody about something, there's a communication theory known as the spiral of silence, and we've saw that a lot in the last couple of years. But if you're in a room of people or online with a bunch of people – and they disagree with the way that you see things, you're less likely to pipe up and say something for fear of what may happen to you. Oh, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But the same thing happens if we would start to fill people's ears and airways with positive messages, then that's what's going to get through.
That's
we just need
right.
to switch
yes.
the table on that, right? So if
yes.
you can put it out there, the more you share it, let's say that there are 500 people are listening, right? So you take that 500 people. If all of you told that to just three people, just think of the exponential change you just made, not just in people that know about it, but all of those people who will join you and put their voices in there. And pretty soon, they are not going to be able to do anything but hear us ask for change.
That's right. And change starts with you and I, you know, just like when growing up, you know, hey, we respect the animals, we love them, and we move through our adulthood doing the same. And that's what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why these children, and we could talk a little bit about the book there, Beth. Tucker Finds a Forever Home and everything, and then I will be taking calls, everyone, so please be patient. This book right here, Tucker Finds His Forever Home. It's a children's book, everyone. So anybody out there with children, even the grandparents could get involved with help reading these books to them and getting them on the, you know, the side of the animals and to treat them with dignity and respect. I never, ever went and pulled their tail or smacked them or wrestled them to the ground. There's no need for that. I was gentle with them, petting them. They love to be petted. They love to be talked to. you know, they love to spend time with them or with their toys or whatever and eat and, you know, go outside, walks. So, but Tucker finds his forever home. It tells the story of a young pit bull mix who is forced out of his home by his family's landlord. And that's so sad because that's so much going on out there, everyone. That's that's discrimination. It's, I mean, prejudice. It's inhumane. And so he wakes up in a park and is confused by his surroundings and why everyone is afraid of him. The young dog runs for shelter in an alley where he dreams of his home. The next morning, the animal rescue center finds him and takes him to the shelter. Tucker's excited about his new surroundings, a soft bed, and high hopes of being adopted. Tucker's happiness fades as dog after dog is adopted, and he is passed over because they think he is mean. One day, Tucker meets someone special, a woman named Lila, who thinks he is just perfect the way he is. She adopts Tucker and takes him to her dog-friendly community to give him happiness, unconditional love, and a forever home. That is awesome. A happy ending. You know, a lot of times we don't hear happy endings. You know, they stay in these shelters for a long time. Some of them get put down of overcrowding, everyone. So please, adopt, don't shop. Visit your local animal shelter. Find your new furry loved one or loved ones and give them that TLC home. But go ahead, Beth. This is, you're awesome.
But, thank you. Thank you. This is a project near and dear to my heart. I started with the curriculum, and then the book idea was kind of this thing in my head that wouldn't go away. And then it just, for some reason, I never really even thought of, and I didn't realize it till just now, I didn't think about any other book than this one. It was always this book. So I don't know. There must have been something in all that education stuff that made me feel like there was a message to be told. I was a little nervous about talking with little ones about discrimination and things like that and abandonment. So, I mean, I'll read you. This says, under a tree in a very big park lies a sleeping puppy who is just waking up. Tucker sniffs the air and opens one eye. Where am I? Where is Henry? Thinks the puppy. What am I doing here? Then the puppy remembers. Henry took him for a car ride to the park. Tucker thought they were going to play. Henry started crying and left Tucker all alone, tied to a tree with a strong rope. Goodbye, Tucker, said Henry, crying as he walked away. So how is that possible that that's the first story of first page of any book? You know, that should never be the first story of any or the first story that you hear about dogs. And so you're right. We're used to, you know, See Spot Run, kind of happy, and those are fantastic books. But, you know, we're to a point now where we can't afford to not have those conversations with these kids because they all grow up and have that I want a dog phase, right? So we've got to get to them before they get the dog so that they understand that not everything that they see on TV or hear from their friends or watch at their neighbor's house is appropriate for that dog. And so if we can approach this really in the same way that we are with the kids don't know any better, all right? They are learning, they are absorbing, and they're like little sponges, but so are we. So we can still be like little sponges. We should go at this, and it's so easy, and I'm guilty of this too, to get angry about this, to be angry at everything I come in contact with about that everything is affecting the lives of dogs and animals negatively. And it's easy for me to get sucked into that hole, that vacuum, that really there's no productivity there. Instead, and this is kind of what I did with Wagtown, is Wagtown doesn't use any local funding. It's all self-funded or through things like the relationship with Red Roof Inn or grants that we got from the Conference of Mayors, because I don't want to take resources away from the people who are literally on the streets finding a dog like Tucker and making sure that he gets to a good home. But what we need, in addition to people screaming and thumping their fists on tables and saying, this is not going to happen anymore on my watch, what I want to provide with Wagtown, sort of the Pollyanna version of that, because we all know what the problems are, at least the people on this call, and we need to share those problems with people so they understand that there's a problem. And what I want to do with these books and with my work is show people that when you see a problem with this, what you need to do first is visualize what could it look like if it was better. What would it look like if dogs were accepted as dogs? They can be these wonderful creatures that adds so much to our lives, but we really don't go into it with that perspective. So go in gently, find out what people, you know, meet them where they are and help them understand, because so many people don't even know that what they're doing can be really catastrophic to the well-being of that dog.
Yeah, and we got a caller here, Beth. You ready for some calls?
Sure, let's do it.
Area code 631. You're live and on the air. Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals. Go right ahead. You have any comments or questions for Beth? Thanks for calling in.
Absolutely. Debbie, it's Lauren Contino. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you doing?
Great.
Lauren?
How are you?
Thanks for calling in. I love when former guests and all these callers call in, that it's big supporters. Thank you for all your support. Much appreciated. And Lauren, everyone,
my
is a founder of the Save the World, Save the Animals, and she's promoting my podcast on her website. Thank you, Lauren. A big shout out to Spencer Hodgetts, Rebound on Rebound News. He's promoting his podcast. So is the PPJ Gazette Online, and so is All About the Animals Radio. So look at all this big chain reaction of taking, you know, helping each other out. It's wonderful. Thank you. But go ahead if you have any comments or questions Beth.
Yes, I do. Beth, when you were saying about the pits, you know, what did you say that they, anytime they're released from a rescue, they say, well, you have to do, what did you say before? I didn't catch it because I was eating dinner.
Oh, man.
You said something about when you adopt a pit.
Oh,
but anyway,
about his story of being in there? Yeah, oh, go ahead.
Basically, I have three. Now, when you adopt them,
mm-hmm.
first of all, they don't understand something. People that are from, like, high-kill shelters and not good people, things like that, first thing they want to do is euthanize them. Most of them aren't taught bad behavior, but you can behavior. I knew nothing about pit bulls whatsoever, and I had Matt. That was my first one. He's the one who taught me to know who he really was. And I
oh my gosh!
You know, I got something. Yeah, they.
You just gave me goosebumps. I've never heard someone say that.
Wow.
Yeah.
We love each other. We have
I'm so glad you called.
Oh,
well, you must be
too.
Surrounded by, they have the best kisses and the best smiles. A friend of mine is writing a blog about
gosh.
The most
if
affectionate dog
your
breed
face,
and your dog
yep.
breed on it.
If you leave your face in Max's face, he'll just keep looking at you from doomsday.
By now.
But, you know, interesting about their personality. The first thing, exactly, so he'll lick you now to doomsday. That's what he likes to do. But I know it's funny, right? When I adopted, after I adopted Mac, that was my first bit, but it made me want to do a lot of research because I, you know what, I wasn't sure how to take care of a pit bull. I never had one before. But during that research, it's what made me become with my website. But I wanted to tell you something about adopting pits from places. The first thing they did, even with me, okay, when I adopted Sierra. Now, Sierra was definitely trained to be a dog fighter. And I brought her home, when her and Mac would play, this is taught behavior. Normally, a dog would never clamp onto another dog's leg because that will make them go down to the ground. That's how I knew. So you know what I did? It took me two months. I trained them together because Mac was a good boy and they bonded. So it took me a good 2 months every day with command. And now she's beautiful. She's 11 now and she's a sweet little lady. So
How old was she when you got her?
Huh?
How old was she when you got her?
One years old. They were going to
euthanize her. 15 years? You spent 2 months on a dog, and
she's
for 15
well, she's
years, they were fantastic.
Now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 10 years of her life,
11.
She would have been given no life. You spent
that's correct
60 days on a dog and gave it a fantastic life, a decade of being loved
you.
And
understood
how
so
to be
much.
A dog.
Yes.
No, thank
Thanks
you.
For
right. thank
that's
you.
Awesome.
You're very
that
welcome.
Awesome.
I just wanted to let you know because you were talking about pits and how they're so discriminating and stuff like that. And
mm-hmm.
then I end up getting another one. He was 6 months old, but I know other people want to talk, but I want to tell you something about this amazing dog. I brought him home at 6 months. My mother wasn't well, and she fell a lot. Now, Brody was not trained to be a service dog, but I slept upstairs in my house. Time, Brody would run up the steps, bang on the door, this poor, he's a big fella too, but sometimes we didn't hear him, but then he had a funny cry, so I ran downstairs. My mother was on the floor. And now
oh
we
my
thought
gosh.
It was a coincidence. He did this every single time. And then one time,
wow,
he started coming up to say, I jumped out of bed, and I was like, we better run downstairs. Something might be wrong with Mom. So, but you know what he did? He trained himself. As soon as my mother got off her bed with the walker, he ran upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
So he was doing preventative.
Huh.
He's really,
wow.
my mother, they bonded. And to tell you the truth, that animal kept my mother alive. You know, and,
see,
you know,
I don't see how people don't look at that and say, this is something, if we found some new species tomorrow called
yeah.
a dog, and we saw that it could yeah. smell cancer and, you know, cure mental illness and that, it could, you know, all the things
mm-hmm.
that it could do, we would never say,
yep.
well, let's tie it in the backyard and stick a stake in the ground. We would never do that. We would say, this should be revered. We should find out what else is capable with this dog. We should find out how we can be more like dogs.
That's right. That's
yeah, the world I want to
right.
live in.
Me too. Me too.
Don't we all? Don't we all? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it makes sense.
It might be someone else. It does.
Okay, does anybody,
make sense,
are you in the queue? We got a packed house there. Thank you all for tuning in.
All right, I'll hold on, Tim. Thank you.
Yeah, you can stay on the air there.
Great to talk to you.
Yeah, if you
nice
anybody
to you
that's in the, this phone number, 310-982-4270, you're in the queue, press 1, and you'll be on air, okay? And you can call in from Skype. All shows are recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio, everyone, so you can listen and share 24/7, 365 days a year. And our PPJ Gazette, just search Voices Cared for Animals on the right-hand column. It'll lead you to all the links or on Blog Talk Radio. So 20 minutes after the show, it will be archived, and you go back and listen to it in case you came in late or you want to share it. Let's get our children involved out there. Area code 719. I know who this is. This is the Mama Cat. Hey, Mama Cat. Meow. A.K.A. Rick
hey,
Bender. How are you?
Come
how
here,
are
kitty.
You?
I'm doing well. I just
yeah,
wanted to stop in
awesome
and say hi
too.
To Beth and Lauren and Debbie and
hey,
say
there.
I'm 100% behind everybody. I'm blocked out of Facebook right now because of a technical issue. So as soon as I get back on, I'll be sharing.
That is too much.
How much I'm in jail.
Oh, I've been there.
I'll come
it
and bond you out,
easily.
Okay? I lost count how many times I was in Facebook jail. I mean, I haven't been there this year until further notice.
Well, we'll have to start a club.
Most of the
yeah,
time
well,
it's
yeah.
because we
technical
share too bad.
Baloney.
But so glad to hear your voice, Mama Cat. Audience, Mama Cat's been a guest on the show several times. She's taken care of 115 cats and colonies out there. So, you know, and her grandson, Skyler, has been on the radio as a guest, and Allie, her granddaughter, and they're just all awesome. And they started them out young, didn't you, Mama Cat? I mean, they're helping you out, and I think it's wonderful. Keep it up.
I think they were 7 and 9 when they started.
Yes. Yeah, that's
See, that's
awesome.
The kind of stuff
teaching
that sticks with them. That will stick with them. Yeah, all their life.
They even have they have their own page that they try to promote young kids, and they make videos of trapping cats, and basically just saying if two little kids, 7 and 9 years old, can trap cats, adults can do it all day long.
And these are your kids?
My grandkids.
Well, you need to give them a hug from me then.
Yes.
I love that. I love
a hug, okay?
You have already raised Garrett. We're just talking about.
And I like Seth's idea of being able to clone us all. If we could just clone the four ladies that are here right now, we'd be so far in advance.
Yes, we would. We'll join up. You guys know the Golden Girls community, Kathy and Catherine, they're forces to be reckoned with for sure. If we could clone like an eighth of Kathy, we would be all there. So, yeah, I agree with you. See, this is what I mean, is right down to this 310 number is happiness and joy and relationships with dogs. And so just the energy of this conversation, and then to have you come up here and say, basically, proof is in the pudding, that you transferred your knowledge and love of animals to your children to the point where they are now carrying the torch themselves. That's really commendable.
And that's so inspiring and everything. And Mama Kay, I got another call here. Just stay on air, okay?
I'm here.
Okay, here it goes, 724, you're live on air, go ahead.
Hi, Debbie. It's Diane. And my son's acting up. Oh, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you, but I can't hear Debbie.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
but I can
hear Debbie. It's been a while since I've been on here. I had to call in and say hi to everybody.
Hi,
well,
Diane.
Mother, I don't know you. Hi, Diane.
Yeah,
I know you have a dog.
We'll take over Debbie's show.
I'm here.
You know,
we can just talk. My charge went out on one of my phones. But I'm back.
We missed the news. We just took over your station here, so you're going to have to call in.
That is so funny. And, big shout out to Moose, my mother, Pat Nommer. Mom, love you to death. Thanks for all your support. You're a beautiful woman inside and out. And a good friend of mine, Dave Thomas, is listening in. You know, he's not the founder of Wendy's. But thanks, Dave, for listening in.
If he's Dave Thomas, then he's in favor of adoption, right?
Yeah, Dave Thomas. Wendy's dude.
He was the Wendy's adopted daughter.
An awesome team. All of us. You guys are just an awesome team, you know? And I think Debbie's our leader.
We're down to 2 minutes.
We're down to a minute and a half, ladies, and I want to thank you, Mama Cat, for calling in, and Lauren Contino of Save the World, Save the Animals, Diane Echo. We Love Pit Bulls. She's another former guest. I love this, all your support, everybody. It's so meaningful and heartfelt. But I want to go – thank you so much, Beth, for this show this evening. It was awesome. It's been another great show. Everybody visit www.wagtown.org. or also look up Beth Terry Holmes on the author of this book and tell, keep spreading the word, Tucker Finds His Forever Home. Also, Wagtown mm-hmm. is on Twitter, everyone. So please keep spreading the word. Next week we have Wayne Pacelli of Animal Wellness Action coming back. I want to welcome him back on the show, another great show. He's the founder and president, so we got another great lineup this year, everyone. So please keep spreading the word. Okay, Mama Cat, you ready? Go ahead. Paul in hand. Go ahead.
United we stand against all animal neglect and abuse across the land. Good night, everybody.
All right.
Good
night, everyone.
Thank you all for tuning in.
Another great show. Thank you, all you listeners out there.
My Mama Cat.
Thank you. Keep wagging.
Thank you so much.
Bye,
okay.
Bye,
have
a bye,
day.
Bye,
may God bless you all.
Bye, Lauren.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye. Night-night, Moose. AK Bob.